In Jesus' name this morning. I'd like to preach about giving this morning. And what kind of gave rise to this message was this time of the year, there's a lot of emphasis on giving. And I just amazed every time Christmas season rolls around at how much there's an emphasis on giving. And Black Friday was last Friday. Traditionally kicks off the Christmas gift buying season. And people buy gifts for everyone. And in 2021, most Americans spend an average of $886 on Christmas gifts. And 41% of Americans were willing to go into debt for their annual Christmas shopping. And it's just crazy when you think about it. I actually was at Lowe's and Tractor Supply on Black Friday. Took the boys up to had a couple things we wanted to get. And when I went to check out, I was given the option to round up my whatever my total was to the nearest dollar, and those proceeds would benefit a charity of some sort. I don't even remember what it was. And I've seen that different places. You can give 65 cents or whatever, and I imagine in a day's time that adds up a lot if everybody does that. And I guess as I thought about that and the giving and the emphasis on giving, I've been thinking a lot about how I should be giving as a Christian and what the Bible says about giving and some of the concepts that we read about in the Bible. And the Bible clearly calls us to give of our time and money, our talents. And Jesus was a great example of living a life of giving. And I don't know that Jesus gave that much as far as money, but his whole life was giving. He was just, that's what he did. And I don't know, I made the, sometimes dealing with people in business, get a little frustrated how selfish people are. And I made the comment to my wife the other day that there's just a lot of selfish people. And maybe that's kind of a pessimistic viewpoint, and maybe that reflects on me too much, I don't know. But we do need to recognize that we are selfish people. We are born with those tendencies. And if we don't make some effort to apply the principles of God's words, we will be selfish. We will look out for ourselves. I guess my burden for the message is that this group here, as we look at each other and as people look at us, we can see each other and people can see us as a bunch of people that are living selflessly. And if I need something, all I have to do is ask and there'll be somebody that'll be willing to give or help or... So the end of this week, that was kind of put to the test a little bit. I was studying for this message, and Tony Yeager calls me up. He had a call in Morris. There's an old couple just south of Broughton's Garage on the left there. The husband has dementia, and the wife is so hunched over she can hardly get around, and anyhow, he had to fix their washer, dryer. Anyhow, he's at the place is terrible. She has so much wash laying around and she can't do anything. And he's like, he asked her if she's connected with a church at all, or no, she said she isn't. And he called me up. He's like, you guys just got to do something for her. And so I thought, well, I guess that's maybe God was trying us out. But anyhow, so I guess my goal is that we could kind of be the kind that we could be the kind of people that are willing to give. And I'd like you to join me this morning as I want to analyze my own life, and I'd like you to analyze your life, and just analyze whether I'm the kind of person that is looking for ways to give to others and to Christ, or if I'm the kind of person that when I see an opportunity to give, I'm looking for excuses why it won't work for me to give. I think that pretty much sums up both camps of people. There's people that are looking for excuses not to give, and there's people that are looking for ways to give. And I think probably we'll find ourselves in one of those two camps. I think there is times when we try to live selflessly, and we fail in that sometimes, even to the best of our intentions. And we're human. We understand that. But we want to, by God's grace, live a life that models Christ's life of giving. You can turn to Acts 20, verse 35. This is attributed to Jesus. It's not, nowhere is it recorded in the Gospels that Jesus said this. But in Acts, this is attributed to Jesus. And if I ask some of the younger children here, if you'd rather get a Christmas gift or a birthday gift, or if you'd rather give one, you'd probably say you'd rather get one. It is pretty much fun to get a gift. But Jesus said it's more blessed, or we have more blessings if we give than when we receive. I'll read this verse, Acts 20, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And this gives the thought of, as we go about our lives, we just keep that in the back of our mind. It's better to give. It is more blessed. We'll gain more blessings to give than if we're the ones receiving. And I simply have six biblical concepts of giving. And I'm just going to, sometimes I think maybe it helps us remember them better if they're written down. I'm going to just write them down on the board as we go along. Number one, you can turn to Genesis 28, verses 20 and 22. This is, if you remember the story about Jacob, this was when he had gypped Esau out of a blessing, and then there was some conflict there for obvious reasons, and Jacob was sent down to Laban, and on his way there, Jacob dreamed a dream, and he dreamed, had this vision of the ladder and the angels going up and down on it. And then verse 20, Jacob vowed a vow. And he said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And the Old Testament and history have kind of established that 10% principle as a baseline for giving, for tithing. Abraham gave 10% of the spoil to Melchizedek, and God instructed the Israelites to give 10% to fund the religious organization of that day, the Levites, give the Levites something to live off. And then he went a step further in Numbers 18:26. He required the Levites to give 10% of the 10% to back to him. So Even though the Levites were doing the work of the Lord, he asked them or commanded them to give back that additional 10%. And I think this goes to show how important tithing is to God, and the concept that God has given to us and we give back to him. And like most commandments in the Old Testament, the New Testament strengthens the commandment. And Jesus talks about tithing and giving, and he talks about how the Pharisees gave their alms and how we're not supposed to. We'll look into that a little bit later. We're not supposed to be doing it publicly or doing it for show. But the New Testament takes the 10% principle a little further in that Paul instructs the Corinthians to give as the Lord prospered them. So now it's not just give a tenth, it's as the Lord prospers you. So it's very typical for a person, as their income goes up, so does their cost of living, their spending. So a person might be making $50,000 and they have enough to, you know, get by, and they start making more, and that same person could make $100,000 or $150,000, and, you know, they just find more things that they need to have. And so Paul calls on us to give as the Lord has prospered us. And also in, I think it's Proverbs 3:9, can't remember that exactly how that verse says it, but it says something that we're supposed to honor the Lord with our first fruits, and implying that we give of what God has given us. And here in this passage where Jacob vowed a vow, this was a worship experience that Jacob had with the Lord. And right on the heels of that, he promised God a tenth of what God gave to him. And I think it's important for us to remember that tithing is actually a part of worship. And our tithing, or maybe lack of tithing, is somewhat linked to our love for God and our worship of God. And I think it's a strong statement, but I think it's true that if we don't tithe, we're also failing to worship God, and we're failing to give to God and failing to love God as we should. We tithe not just out of duty, but because we love God and are thankful for what he has given to us. Children should learn to give at a young age. I remember used to go to White Oak to church, and that had a wooden floor, and almost every Sunday you'd hear a quarter or a coin or something drop and go rolling down the floor. This morning I was sitting next to a little boy, and he put a quarter in the offering. And I think it's good for us as dads to, start with a quarter, give our boys a dollar or something to put in the offering basket, so it helps to rivet in their mind that this is part of worship. And it helps to subconsciously teach them that we give, and helps us to realize that all this money that we have or the things that we have, we need to keep that in proper perspective and give back to God. Youth, tithing isn't just for when you get married. I think it should be pretty settled in our minds that our paychecks come in and that first 10% goes to God. That is not ours to keep. And we need to firmly rivet that in our mind. And I think it's important, right along with that, just to reinforce the point that we can go above and beyond that. We don't necessarily take that 10%, $1,000, here's $100, I'm maxed out, I gave what I need to do. Our tithe should be the first allocation out of our wages. Our tithe should come before groceries. It should come before our discretionary spending before our mortgage, for sure before our new car. God comes first. And, you know, we're too often a little like that little boy that was given two quarters. The one was for God, for the offering basket, and the other was whatever, if he wanted to buy some candy or whatever. And he dropped the one or lost the one. He was looking for it and couldn't find it. And God's going to have to go without his quarter, I guess. But we laugh at that. But again, that is there is that side of us that we are born with a nature that wants to keep what we have and wants to keep what God gave us. And one of the concepts, biblical concepts of giving, is to tithe faithfully. The next one, number two, is to give sacrificially. Let's see if I can spell this right. All right. Turn with me to Luke 21. This is Jesus standing here watching the people throw their gifts into the treasury. And he said, he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And Jesus is teaching that the heart behind the gift is more important than the size of the gift. And the concept here is that we need to give in a way that requires us to sacrifice. We have to sacrifice things that we want or need in order to accommodate our giving. And I'm thinking more of just when the offering plate comes around. I'm thinking of our time, our resources, our talents. This widow had two coins that were hardly worth anything. I didn't really study into it, what she could have bought with those two coins, but, you know, she wouldn't have had to give anything, and I don't think Jesus would have been critical of her. But this was a woman that was willing to sacrifice the little that she had. Giving sacrificially is when we can give and put others' feelings ahead of our own. It means giving up my desires and the things that are important to me if God asks us to. And it means giving beyond convenience or abundance. Thought about it again. I had it here in my notes, but I thought about it here this morning and during our Sunday school lesson. That verse, Abraham, God promised Abraham that he told him to go out, look up towards the heavens, and as many stars as you can see, that's what your descendants are going to be like. And then in two lessons from now, we're going to look how God called Abram to go and offer Isaac. And he called Abraham to give something that was very near and dear to him, his only son. I guess my challenge and what I want to look at in my life and moms and dads, do our children see us sacrificing things that are important to us so that we can help others or give to the work of the church? Or is our schedule and our time more important, the most important, and we can help others around our schedule, but don't mess that up. I think sometimes when we need to give, or when we're called to give of our time or whatever it is, probably it's times when it isn't very convenient normally. And I think it's good for us to think about something, just with me, think about something in your life that is very important to you. And are you willing to give that up or sacrifice that for, in order to give? If God asks you to give that up, or if it's your time, that's, sometimes I feel like that's probably where it affects me the most. I feel like I never have any extra time, and yeah, am I willing to mess that up and get my day further behind just to help someone else, or whatever the case may be? Are we willing to give sacrificially? Number three, give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7. You can turn with me there. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. This verse speaks of giving from the heart, giving without reluctance. We want to give, not have to give. And this is also talking about not giving because we feel obligated, but someone that is cheerfully giving because they want to, and they care about the other, care about others. And we see that in Jesus' life, how he gave. A person that gives cheerfully will probably give generously, thinking about others instead of themselves. And when you think about it, a person that gives cheerfully probably has their priorities right. If my priorities aren't right, and I value my time or my money or my things higher than I should, I probably won't give cheerfully. I don't think it's possible for a selfish person to give cheerfully. Maybe that's also too strong of a statement, but I think it's true. A selfless person will look for ways to help or give and find a way to do it. And cheerful giving brings with it a joy and satisfaction in God's blessing. It says God loveth a cheerful giver. And I suppose it's possible to give out of obligation and give maybe with a wrong motive, or not give as cheerfully as we ought to, and in that we sometimes lose some of the blessings that goes along with giving cheerfully. Number four, give to those in need. Give to those in need, expecting nothing in return. Turn with me to Luke 14. Verse 12, Jesus said, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. And thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And we show Christ's love when we give to those who are in need and are unable to recompense or pay us back. Proverbs 19:17 implies that God will reward those that have pity on the poor. And there's something about us that kind of wants to be compensated when we do something good. And that's natural. And it's easier to do good to someone or give to someone that I know the favor will be returned sometime than it is to give to someone that you know you'll never see it come back to you in from them. Christ calls us to give to those who are most in need and those who are unable or maybe unwilling to return the favor. Maybe sometimes we're not called to give so much to those that are unable to return the favor, but maybe there's people in your life that see that they're in need and you know from the choices they make that you're probably not going to get any favors in return. And maybe those are the Maybe this is a way we can make that commandment practical, to give to those who are in need, that when we know it's not coming back to us, Jesus would have. And there's a blessing that goes along with giving to those in need that can't be measured in dollars and cents. And Matthew 25, when Jesus was separating the righteous from the unrighteous, that specific story talks only about the good deeds that they did. And we know when you couple that, those verses with the rest of the Bible, we're going to answer for more than just charitable deeds that we do or don't do. But that there says, he talked about when I was in prison and when I, you know, he goes down over that whole long list. And they're like, we don't even remember this. And he said, when you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And that was the difference between where those people spend eternity. And that gives us a good insight into how Jesus views the way we relate to those in need. Number 5, give discreetly and anonymously. Matthew 6:1-4. Take heed that ye do not do your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be done in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And we are called to give discreetly and anonymously in a way that we may never be recognized for what we've given or what we've done. Jesus had pretty harsh words for the Pharisees with their desire to be noticed and their good deeds to be on display. And I think it's possible, I think it really, not only possible, but I think it's likely that their incentive for giving was motivated by pride. And they wanted others to see what they were doing, others to see their good works, their alms that they were giving, and think well of them. And Jesus instead calls us to be motivated to help others, sincere to help others, rather than to be noticed. And I think about that, Tioga County Fair is every August, and all the 4-H'ers bring their animals around there, and And after the show, there's an auction, and community businesses bid on these animals. And it's always kind of a show of who paid the most for the champion hog or the champion steer. And then there's usually pictures in the paper of Blaze Alexander or whatever gave so much for this champion hog. And then sometimes they just donate it to charity after that. And that's kind of icing on the cake. And that's all right. And I don't want to be too critical of that. But it is a very public display of giving. I think it's good for us to actively look for ways to give and to do good in ways that nobody knows who did it. Turn to Romans 12:1. The last principle I have is give as Christ gave. And this verse says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Jesus gave his whole life for others, and he's calling us to do the same. And it says, it's your reasonable service. We're not being asked to do anything more than what Christ did himself. In fact, Christ gave way more than we'll ever be called to. He came down here to earth, endured the everything that he endured here on earth. He gave his life in service to others. And I think it was so much about others that his disciples got frustrated at him sometimes. It's like, can we just go boating or something? And there were times that Jesus gave of himself so much that it affected him physically. And there's times when him and the disciples just went away to get away. It was just, he just wore himself out. I don't know. I have a little ways to go to get to that point. And I think that's a challenge for us to live our lives presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. Giving as Christ gave means our whole life is centered around others. The bottom line, Christ calls us to a life of sacrificial living and giving. And, you know, if we follow Christ's example, there isn't much room for selfishness. And I'd like you to join me in, I want to look at my life over the past week. You look at your life over the past week. And we talked about that story when Jesus separated the righteous and unrighteous. Suppose that was you, and Jesus looked at the last week here of your life. What would he have to say? Would he have critical words and judgment like he had for the Pharisees? Or would he say to you, just like you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Let's pray. Thank you.